Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Bill Belichick, I think, okay, is invigorated by this year. So any talk of him tanking for Trevor, any of that, is completely dismissed by me and not welcome in my home.
He's not tanking for Trevor.
Bill Belichick, to me, and I have no proof of this, I'm just going by what I've seen over the last 20 years. Tom Brady is gone. Now, you throw this into the mix, COVID-19, no preseason games, roster opt-outs, guys opting. There are things, challenges that he hasn't had in years. And I think because of the consistent success he has had, Tom Brady is his quarterback, 12 wins, playoffs, AFC championship game. All those things are great. The 6 Super Bowls, great. But this is new life for him. He feels alive right now. Bill Belichick is ready. I bet he skips into the office every day going to work. He loves this situation. He doesn't love COVID, you know, the pandemic. He wants everybody to be safe.
He likes the chaos. That affects every team. The chaos that affects every team, because it does change how things are going to go. He does not love not having preseason games.
No, he does. Okay, fine.
That's one of the elements that he thinks are very important. He's talked about it many times.
He doesn't. But I think in that same breath, I don't think he mopes around about the fact that there are no preseason games. I think he looks immediately the other way and says, okay, this is a great opportunity to face some adversity and have entertain a new challenge that I haven't entertained ever. And I think that gives him life. I think he's excited
he's
to see
quest.
How he'll do against this test.
Is he not? He's on a quest.
He is.
He's on a quest for another ring to do it without Tom. He's on a quest to beat the record for wins by Don Shula.
So I really would love him to beat.
I would too. Screw that guy. Screw the Dolphins. He's got goals that he wants to meet, and he sees a path where he can actually get closer to those goals based on what's happening right now. Is it frustrating that his defensive leader, not the best player on the defense, but really his defensive leader in Hightower, is gone? I think he's frustrated. I think with Chung, he looks at it as like, okay, I have an opportunity to find that next guy, and maybe this is the last time we see Chung regardless. Maybe Duggar does take that role. You know, maybe someone else elevates and takes that role. I think he's excited for certain elements to see how things progress. But he's definitely frustrated that he doesn't get nearly enough time to see his players on the field to try and make as an informed decision as possible about who's even on the roster. Because he loves roster construction.
Yes. And just the fact that he's not going to have the opportunity to maybe put a Malcolm Butler on the roster, these undrafted free agents, guys like that, that would have had a chance to fight for a spot. But I still think he is invigorated by the challenge that this year presents. And every team is in the situation. It's not like the Patriots are having a suspension or their key guy is gone, because every team is facing these challenges. I think he looks at it as, you know, my back's up against the wall. Mm-hmm. We've been counted down, counted out, and I think that fires him up. I think it motivates him.
Yeah.
And then Tom Curran says this week in one of his columns that the Patriots, their coaches are, quote, highly motivated to prove they can win without Tom Brady, which doesn't make any sense to me.
I've been saying this forever. I've been saying this for going back a couple of years, that they both wanted to win without the other one. Bill and Tom both wanted to win without the other one. Well, they both wanted to prove it, and now we get an opportunity to try and see it.
Okay. I don't really understand why that has to be the case. Okay? If you're Bill Belichick, right, you found Tom Brady. It's not like you inherited him or something like that. You found him. You drafted him, and you won with him.
Yeah, but
so
it's more about it's more about the narrative outside the walls that you hear.
But that's to me like taking the CEO of a company, Mark Zuckerberg, and you see what he did with Facebook. You see what he built. You take Mark Zuckerberg, you look at what he built with Facebook, and then you say, well, yeah, you know, he did that with Facebook, but could he ever open a restaurant and be successful? I don't know. I mean, he did it with Facebook. What does it matter? You did it with Facebook. You got rich off of Facebook. Belichick found Brady. He got rich off of Tom Brady with rings.
I don't like the correlation you make because I think it's very different because it's different when you're attached to someone else. When someone else gets credit, when you feel like credit belongs to you. I think that's a big difference with it. It's not, hey, you did one thing great. Can you do a different thing great?
I guess, but your job is to find guys to attach yourself to. That's the point.
I think it was childish from both of them. Childish from both of them. The amount of Super Bowls should have been the only thing that mattered to either one of them. Together, apart, whatever.
It's just strange to me that people act like, you know, it's a detriment to Bill Belichick's legacy that he only won with Tom Brady. He found Tom Brady. That's his guy. He was the kingmaker.
I know.
Why is that being held against you? You found him. You made him. I don't get it. Just because you won with him? That was the point.
I don't get it either. I mean, we've talked about this for years, and it's never really made sense because at the end of the day, the most important thing should have been to win.
Does anything change in terms of wins and losses, projected wins and losses because of the opt-outs to you?
Yeah. I think you lose one more game.
Okay.
One, maybe two more game.
That's a big deal.
Hightower is a big loss.
It is.
Chung's a pretty big loss.
Could be.
Cannon's a big loss.
Yeah. Especially now, no Cannon, no Skarnecchia. That's a big situation.
I'll drop you down a win or two.
Two wins is a big swing.
Absolutely.
It's a big swing.
Now I'm looking at them as a 7-9 team.
Not going that far.
Well, I was looking at them as a 9-7 team.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I can't go that far.
Okay. We'll meet in the middle. 8-8.
Okay.
They're a 500 team. What did we think was going to have to happen this year? The defense was going to have to be good, right? We knew the defense was going to have to be good.
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 At least.
So you take some of the most important elements out of that. Now, here's the other side of the ball. You're losing an important member on your offensive line. You've got a quarterback that's been dealing with injury issues that's trying to get back up to full health, and you're worried about his health. Then you have a young quarterback who's going to have to deal with an inexperienced lineman in front of him. It's not a recipe for success there. So you're losing very important players to the success of your team this year. So, yeah, I'm going to drop you down a win or two. It matters to me. Losing your best linebacker matters.
Yeah. I could go down to 8-8 because I might have had them at 10-6 with Cam Newton.
Yeah, it's not like
with
we were
Cam Newton
off.
Being Cam Newton.
I wasn't sitting here saying they were going to be a 4-12 team.
7-9, I'm not getting on board with 7-9. Not doing that. Not with Cam Newton. I mean, assuming Cam Newton is healthy and is Cam Newton, will not go that far. All right, let's get a break. We should touch on the Bruins when we get back at some point. We'll go back to the Celtics, too. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
Sports Radio, 103.7 WEEI. Trending now. Now, the WEEI Trending Now.
Good morning at 1024. Here's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Boston Red Sox lost to the New York Yankees last night at Yankee Stadium 5-1 as Aaron Judge, Gio Urshela, and Brett Gardner hit home runs for the Yankees, and Michael Chavis hit a home run for the Red Sox. The next time the Red Sox will play is tonight against the New York Yankees. Tonight, you can catch that game here on WEEI. First pitch is at 7:05. The Boston Celtics lost their first game of the NBA restart season to the Milwaukee Bucks, 119-112. Giannis Antetokounmpo was a high scorer for the Bucks with 36 points, as Marcus Smart was a high scorer for the Celtics with 23 points. The next time the Celtics will play is Sunday at 3:30 against the Portland Trailblazers. You can catch that game on ABC. The MLB commissioner warns of shutdown if coronavirus isn't better managed. And also, NFL gives Antonio Brown 8-game suspension for violating personal conduct policy. I'm Devin Telgani, and that's what's trending now.
Now, back to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7. 401-737-1287 is the phone number. Joe Kelly suspended 8 games by Major League Baseball.
What a joke.
What did he even do? He threw at the guys? I mean, he sort of threw behind one. I mean, was a joke. I hated that. He made baseball the most interesting it's been in a year by doing that and talking the smack that he talked.
Little boo-boo face.
Little boo-boo face. Little bitch. That was the most interesting baseball has been in months.
What the hell did you think was going to happen when you don't punish the players in any way, shape, or form? What did you think was going to happen?
Especially
with the Dodgers.
Yeah, and you suspend them 8 games. That's like fourth of the season,
That's
a third
ridiculous.
Of the season.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
It's a huge chunk of games.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
Let me just put
it's
this way.
It's very frustrating to watch.
I tweeted this simply. If there was more of that in baseball, baseball would be more popular.
Yes.
End of discussion. So to suspend him, and not just to suspend him.
I don't love the idea of throwing at people the time.
Did he hit anybody?
No.
Okay. So how do you know he didn't want to try? He was trying to throw it behind him.
Yeah.
He wasn't trying to hit anybody. He didn't hit anybody. Threw it behind him, and then he talked smack. And then there was an interaction, a fracas. If that was more of the norm in baseball, it would be more interesting.
Agreed.
Like it or not, that's the way it is.
Man, one of the things I like about hockey, they'll fight.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
Someone's being a pain in the ass all game, the enforcer will come on and say, no, we're going to fight. And then you watch a fight, and you're like, all right, cool, it's
people
over.
Being angry, getting in each other's face, bad blood,
it's
all
fantastic.
Of those things sell. That is fantastic for the game. We wish there was more of that in the NBA.
What's one of the most iconic images, Red Sox images of the last 20 years?
That's right.
What is it?
Veritek shoving his face mask into A-Rod, or whatever it was, his glove.
Yeah, yeah. Arguably the most iconic image in the last 20 years of the Red Sox. Confrontation. It's fantastic. There needs to be more of that. That was a bad decision from Major League Baseball to come down that hard
exactly.
On Joe Kelly. If you said, hey, it would be different if he was a starting pitcher, right? Because you suspend starting pitchers longer just to make sure they miss a start to actually have a suspension there. It would have been different if that was the case. But he's a reliever. He's a guy that could have pitched 3 times, 4 times, 5 times in that 8-day span. The suspension far outweighed the actual act. And the reason the act happened in the first place is because MLB buried their head in the sand like they always do about everything. They buried their head in the sand when it came to the Astros and their cheating. They did nothing to the players whatsoever. And if you have a brain, you know what's going to happen next. The players are going to try and police the situation. Say, you guys didn't get punished. You should have been punished. You know why? Because you cheated the game and you cheated us. And you took money out of our pockets.
I had no problem with anything Joe Kelly did. I loved the reaction after he did it. And
the boo-boo face?
MLB dropped the ball. They had an opportunity. I mean, now they just look like a bunch of old, boring men again. You know, that was an opportunity to recognize the interest that you brought to the game, that Kelly brought to the game. Not condoning throwing at people's domes, but to come down that hard, that just says there is no room for anything of the sort.
Has Manfred proven that he's the worst commissioner of the 4 major sports?
You know, Roger Goodell has a body of work.
Oh, well, Silver's number one. We know that.
In terms of being the best?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Goodell has his problems, but the game has been printing money.
Yes.
So, yes, there's been some issues, but overall, it's almost a wash. But with Manfred, it's problem after problem. The game's losing interest. The fans are turning away from the game rapidly. They don't want to watch it. They can't figure out how to change the game and actually improve it. They're constantly in a fight with their players.
Yeah.
He's the worst commissioner in pro sports right now, or at least in the 4 major American sports.
That was disappointing. I mean, just the amount of traction and traffic that was getting online. Everybody was talking about it. Everybody was into it. And you suspend the guy 8 games. I want to never see that again. That's what he's saying. I want nothing like that to happen again.
Yeah, you don't want
it's
your sport
a bad
to be
message.
Interesting.
Look, nobody got hurt. Nobody got hurt. Had somebody gotten hurt? Had he nailed Correa in the face or the head and it was a big thing? That's different.
That is different.
But he didn't. He didn't. Major league pitcher, he could have been looking to just buzz him. That's it. He didn't hit anyone. 8 games, too much, bad message.
No, it's just the MLB stepping in it again.
Yeah.
They can't get out of their own way. They're incapable of making an appropriate decision about anything. About anything.
It's a shame. Okay. The Bruins are underway tomorrow is their first game of the round robin. So the round robin to me is basically exhibition. I mean, the round robin doesn't really mean much other than seeding, and there's no home ice. It doesn't really mean anything. What, last change? So I'm not really worried about the round robin. But as we've outlined in the past, last week, I have some worry about the Bruins. Because the Rust, because they were so good, it's hard to kind of just pick it up where you left off. It was nice to see David Pastrnak score the other night. It wasn't nice to see the result. Where are you on the Bruins? And has anything changed based on that one scrimmage exhibition?
Nope. It's practice. Don't care.
Yeah.
I really don't care. The pressure's not there. The pressure's not the same. Yeah. Nothing really has changed for me with the Bruins. If they stay healthy, they should be right there at the end. They should be. They were that good during the regular season. They have that much talent. They should be. They should pick up where they left off.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
So nothing has really changed for me with the Bruins. If they stay healthy, they should be there at the end.
Let me ask, could anything change if they don't perform well during this little round robin for seeding? Could that change your opinion, your outlook at all?
Yeah, if they're not playing well.
It's not the playoffs, just seeding.
Yeah, but if they're not playing well, that's a trend. That's indicative of what may come.
Well, you could just say, well, it's not the playoffs yet.
If you could. But also, if a team's playing poorly at the end of the regular season, that gives you concern when the playoffs starts regardless, right? Look what happened last year with the Patriots. Did they play well at the very end of the season?
No.
Were we concerned about them going into the playoffs?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. Granted, it's different. You have one game that you can base it off of.
And they didn't play well the year before. They didn't really play well at the end of the season and then ripped through the playoffs.
And then turned it on and looked really good.
Yep.
So, yeah, it can go either way. But when the team's not playing well, you're usually looking at that and go, what's wrong here?
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to worry about an exhibition scrimmage. I would have liked to have seen them win. I don't know why, if they're going to play the game, I wouldn't root for them to win. But, I'll save my big conclusions for their regular season games, the three or whatever they play in this round robin, and then they'll go into the playoffs, and then I'll make new conclusions there. So I still feel the same. I'm worried about how they're going to handle restarting, having been the dominant team. I think it's a tough spot to be in, coming back, trying to find where you were after that long layoff.
Particularly with older players. Trying to get their legs going again and get it into a consistent rhythm for them. Yeah, there's difficulties ahead for them, especially if you're going to face a younger team that, you know, they don't require the rest nearly as much as a guy who's 33, 34, 35 years old is. So there are some concerns. There were naturally going to be some concerns regardless going in because there's other talented teams out there. But I am still not overly worried based off of an exhibition game. I can't. I've never put stock in a victory in an exhibition game.
So you still have them going further than the Celtics?
Yeah.
As of now?
Yes. Yes, I do.
As for the Celtics, they play Portland on Sunday. Are these games important? I mean, do they have to win these games?
Well, the interesting thing is these games are important in a way because it's almost more important for the Celtics to see what happens between the 76ers and the Pacers because I think they're both 14.5 games back, and you'd rather face the Pacers, right? So you can try and put yourself in a more advantageous position. So, yeah, there is importance to it, and they are games that matter. There is pressure there, unlike an exhibition game.
So you're saying you'd rather see Philly win and get into the fifth seed?
Yeah, yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
You don't want to play them in the first round.
No, you just don't. I don't want to play them at all.
It's a matchup problem for you. And if Philly has figured things out in these eight games, if they do, they're going to be really scary. You'd much rather face the Indiana Pacers.
Correct.
Much rather.
Correct. And then the best thing, if you could avoid them there, then you'd get that Philly-Milwaukee second round series, which I think would benefit the Celtics if you can take your chances with Toronto, especially in a situation where you don't have to go to Toronto, where the Celtics have been awful.
Mm-hmm.
So that would really be in their favor. But they need a little help for that. The only good thing about a series with Philly, if Embiid was playing well, if Simmons was getting to the rack, if Horford was doing his thing, you know who you might have to come calling on. And that would be interesting to me.
Robert Williams III.
No. Yes, but not him alone. So that would be interesting to me. Would they have to go to a guy like Taco Fall in any way, shape, or form during a series like that just to see how that played out? But I'd rather them not have to face Philly because you just don't know. They still have all that talent, and you just don't know. How far behind Indiana is Philly? They're right
tied.
There. They're tied.
They're tied.
Yeah. So I could go either way. But in terms of the Celtics, I'm not worried. Just getting back to that text, what we were talking about earlier, I'm not worried. I'm not worried. It was just disappointing that Jason Tatum threw up 2-for-18 in the big game, in the national televised game against the Bucks, the number one seed in the conference that a lot of people think you could be toe-to-toe with in the Eastern Conference Finals.
No, you want more consistency out of that guy, out of your best offensive player. You want more consistency, and it is frustrating when he's being inconsistent, especially the first game back, first time you've seen him play in months and months and months, and he looks like hot garbage, at least on the offensive end. That is frustrating. Do I view that as a sign of things to come with him? No, but still, first game back, I expect some preparation. I expect you to be ready to go, and he just didn't look like he was ready to go. Just didn't look that way. And you saw other guys that were. Hayward had a nice game. Marcus Smart had a fantastic game, and he had a much bigger problem on his hands than Tatum did because he had to spend a lot of time guarding Giannis.
Yeah.
A lot of time.
And I thought Jaylen Brown, for the most part, showed up and did what I was hoping he would do.
Yeah.
You lose by
I mean, Kemba Walker, you felt better about Kemba Walker after that game. You felt really good about Brad Wanamaker after that game. He played really well in stretches.
Yeah, in stretches. I don't know if I felt really good. Oh, I felt good.
He had the highest plus minus on the
team. Yeah, no, I felt good. He made that nice steal, awkward looking dunk, but he got it to go down.
Yep.
Should have been a foul there. They didn't call that one. So yeah, you're right. There's a lot of good that came out of that game last night. I'm encouraged overall. It's just when you're a superstar in the making, that has to be a better performance. In that spot against that player, Giannis, against that team, national TV, you can't go 2-for-18. You can't be that bad.
Here's the overall thing, though. They had a plan on how to deal with the Bucks. Did they fully execute that plan? No, but you saw elements that should be very encouraging to you when you go, okay, they go small. They can actually do some things here.
Well, here's the thing. Because you know, reminded me last week that Brad Stevens knows way more than us about basketball.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, maybe close to a month ago, maybe not quite that long, he talked about how on July 31st, we're going to find out a lot about our team. That's what he said weeks ago.
Yep.
Based on what I saw and what he said after the game, he knows more than anybody. It sounds like whatever he was waiting to find out, he found out and he liked. That's what it felt like to me. So that's a good sign. If you're listening to the coach and if you're kind of reading the coach, it felt like he liked what he saw.
Well, I mean, overall, he should. Granted, they lost the game and there were some bad things along the way, Tatum being the highlight of what was wrong with the Celtics last night. But when you look at other elements of it and how much they could have success in certain elements of their scheme against the Bucks, yeah, you should be kind of happy with the performance. You should be happy with what Marcus Smart did defensively with Giannis. It was tough. It was physical. He made Giannis work really hard. And then he didn't slouch offensively. He was really good. He was probably their best player offensively. He was their best player offensively.
Giannis will be a fun free agency when that comes around. I think it's after next season, he's a free agent, I think. Does he stay in Milwaukee? I mean, this guy's the best player in the league.
No, there's other teams that are already setting it up to try and get him.
The Knicks.
Miami.
Miami.
I think Miami's the one that's going to.
The Warriors.
The Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to try, but I think I wouldn't be stunned if he ends up in Miami in 2-3 years.
That'd be an interesting spot.
I really think that's where he's going to end up.
You put him there with a couple of guys they already have on the roster. You don't know what Jimmy Butler will be like at that point.
Yeah, but they could play together.
They could play together.
Even with Butler being a little bit older at that point, you've got some interesting elements on that team. You've got a good young center in Bam Adebayo, who's a really good player. Tyler Herro's shown you some elements this year. Of at least being a threat offensively, where you start to surround those pieces around someone like Giannis, they're really, really good.
He'd be, 25, 6 at the end of next year? It'll be a fascinating thing because he's legit. He's not Kevin Durant, but I think he's probably better. He's more athletic than Kevin Durant, and he's better around the rim probably than Kevin Durant. He's not the shooter Durant is, not even close, but they're right there. you know, neck and neck, and he's going to have one more MVP probably at the end of this year than Durant.
See, I don't view them as being neck and neck because the shooting is so wildly better for Kevin Durant. It's so Durant's a much better shooter than him.
Yeah.
That, yeah, Giannis might be able to finish a little bit better around the hoop when he's attacking. But
he definitely can. He's more athletic than Durant is.
No, I agree with that. But athleticism isn't the be-all, end-all.
No, it's not.
So I just think there is a big disparity there. But Giannis gives you other elements. He's a much better rebounder. He gets up for the ball. He puts himself in much better position.
He's a better defender than Durant. Durant's a good defender.
It's pretty close.
Durant's good, but Giannis is Defensive Player of the Year good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's better.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to break. When we get back, I want to ask you something about the Patriots. Specifically, it's not really, it's more about the NFL top 100 player list. I want to get to that. We'll have the producer's question. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
Now, back to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
All right, back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show. Mike Reese asked Bill Belichick at his press conference this week about his Subway commercial. Your thoughts? Did you see that response?
Super duper.
Everyone loves sandwiches. It's a good sound bite. It's a good sound.
It is.
I love Mike Reese. Good question, Mike.
I love Bill.
He's just so can I call out, and I like Trags, Mike Petralia.
Trags is a good dude.
Good dude. Good dude.
Good dude.
But one thing I didn't appreciate, Trags.
What?
So he goes, and I don't even remember what he was asking about. The face mask that Bill was wearing. But he goes, you know, having been in that situation before, Mike was asking Bill, Mike Petralia, about his face mask that he was wearing. And he goes, hey, Bill, real quick, just taking a page out of Mike Reese's book, wanted to ask about the face mask and what that logo was for, what you were doing, blah, blah, blah. Don't bring Mike Reese into that. What you were saying was, hey, just in case you think this question is stupid, this was Mike Reese who started this, so it's not really on me. Don't do that. Ask your question about the face mask, you know, and then whatever happens, it's on you. So I didn't appreciate that, but whatever. I like Tracks, so that's fine. So that was just an observation. Bill Belichick eating sandwiches. Will Bill Belichick eating Subway sandwiches make you more apt to go to Subway?
No.
He's an influencer.
I don't have one very close to me.
Okay.
It's a long way away from me where I live to go get Subway.
You know what, damn it? I used to eat it all the time
down in
the South because there were no little delis down there. It was all chain restaurants.
I don't have a problem with Subway.
No, it's fine.
It's fine.
I think, you know what, damn it? I could be more convinced now.
Why?
I don't know. Bill's taking that big old bite into that sandwich. It looks big and juicy, and it makes me hungry for a sandwich.
Okay. You going to stop on the way home?
No. I don't like Subway for today. I'm just saying one day, I think I could be more, you know, if I'm on the fence or if I'm in a pinch and there's a Subway right there, I'll think of Bill. Be like, that looked good, that sandwich he had, that big old bite. I might want one.
All right, what'd you want to talk about top 100?
Okay. I just wanted your opinion on Julian Edelman not being one of the top 100 players in the league. Doesn't that feel a little crazy?
He didn't
top 100.
He dropped a lot of passes last year.
He did drop a lot of passes, and he dropped that key one against the Titans that arguably could have been, you know, the beginning of the win that the Patriots could have snagged.
I don't. Talent-wise, should he be there? Yes.
Top 100.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's every position.
Yeah.
You know, what's your top five here? You got three quarterbacks in the top five. You got a defensive lineman, and you got a wide receiver in your top five, or in the top five, right? It's Lamar, Russell Wilson, Aaron Donald, Mahomes, Michael Thomas. That's your top five. Am I all that upset that Edelman didn't make it this year based on how he performed last year? Not really. He wasn't great. He really wasn't. Dropping that many passes is a problem.
Yeah.
It is a problem.
It's tough.
Talent-wise, should he be there? Probably. But production-wise, I don't know. I don't know if he deserved it after last year.
You'd have to really analyze the list. I'll tell you another huge problem.
Which I don't really care about their top 100 list.
No, I mean, look, here's the thing.
Here's the thing that usually matters with regards to the top 100 list. It usually comes out at a time when it's just baseball.
Yeah.
Right? I got basketball back, hockey starting back. Like, these type of things don't mean as much to me because I'm not as starving right now for it as I would be in normal years.
Let me just say this about Julian Edelman. And forget about the list. I think this is just him overall and the perception of Julian Edelman's game. There is an aspect to Julian Edelman that you can relate to Steph Curry. And what I mean is Curry, amongst his peers, doesn't always get the credit he deserves for being as great of a player as he is because people look at him and they see the 6'3", 6'0", 100-nothing frame, and the guys that are ridiculously bigger, more explosively athletic, look at that and they say, how can this guy at that size be that dominant? So they don't give Curry all the time his just due. I think he's a little underrated because of his size. I think Edelman deals with that a little bit too. They look at him, you know, he's 5'9", whatever he is, 5'10", 198. He doesn't look like the prototypical wide receiver necessarily. He doesn't run a 4'3", 40. And you say to yourself, how is this guy as dominant as he is? It must be the system. It must be Brady. It's not real. When I think that's false, I think that's poor. That is not the way to look at Julian Edelman. I think he's a baller. And I did an essay on Twitter this week. Think of it this way. Do you think that you remember Devin Hester, right?
Of course.
Is he going to go to the Hall of Fame, you think?
No.
You don't think so? He's on the all-time 100 team.
No, special teamer.
Okay. But I think, just forget the Hall of Fame then. He was on the NFL 100 all-time team.
Yep.
Julian Edelman obviously was not. But who was the better player? You know what I mean? Especially if a guy like
obviously, but the difference is with that the all-time NFL team, they were trying to round out with all the
specialists.
And
I get
they were
it.
Trying to add that stuff in.
But that guy could go to the Hall of Fame. I don't know if they put him in as a special teamer. But Julian Edelman's a much better player.
I can't, with the exception of a kicker or a punter. I mean, punter is kind of whatever.
Yeah,
I can't really go putting those guys into the Hall of Fame, and there's a reason why. They really weren't good enough to make offense or defense.
Correct.
And special teams is not equal to those. It is not one third of the game.
But if there
it
was,
just isn't.
If there was anybody you were going to put in solely for special teams contributions, it'd be a guy like Devin Hester.
Yeah, I
if
mean,
anybody was going in.
There's a couple of guys that I would consider, but ultimately I'd put none of them in. But if I had to, sure, he'd be on that short list of guys I would look at.
That's all I'm saying. And you look at a guy like that, the accolades, the NFL 100 team, Edelman is a better player than Devin Hester. Especially Edelman is a good punt returner, receiver. He did all these things, Super Bowl MVP. He's underrated. And I think people look at his size and they think this isn't an NFL wide receiver. He's not running 4.3 at 6.3. So they kind of look down on him when they shouldn't because he's been productive. Wes Welker, you could say the same thing. I think Edelman's better than Wes Welker.
Do you have a problem with Lamar Jackson being number one on the list? The answer should be yes.
The biggest problem, it's Patrick Mahomes was what? Dude, you know
fourth.
How I feel about Lamar Jackson. If you have his rookie card, sell it. If you have stock in the flock, sell it. They're not going to be nearly as dumb. Lamar Jackson to me is more than anything else. He is Tim Tebow. More than anything else. I know. Look at me. It's a strong statement. He is not the best player in the NFL. He had a great year. He's dynamic. He's better than Tebow.
My problem with having him at number one is, what did he do in the most important game of the Ravens season last year?
Beyond choked. He
was
horrible.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
He couldn't. The Ravens did a great job putting him in positions to be successful. He did take advantage of it. But when you had to have it, he couldn't come close to getting it done. He can't throw it very well. He's a quarterback. I am completely out on Lamar Jackson. Out. I don't think the Ravens will suck because the organization knows what they're doing. John Harbaugh is a really good coach. But if you Jackson will not be close to the MVP conversation this year. He will not be close to the numbers that he put up last year. This is going to be a crash down to earth year for Lamar Jackson. Teams, now with COVID-19, maybe teams won't be quite as prepared because of the lack of training camp and all these things. Teams will be better equipped to defend him. Sell. Sell, sell, sell.
All right. It's time.
And Mahomes being at four was ridiculous, too.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time!
It's time for our producer to not pay attention.
It is time for the producer's question. So here is Devin Telgani. He has a question. It won't be about sports. So here it is for Mark and Ben.
All right, guys, I'm pumped up for this question. Oh, I can't wait to hear this answer. I can't wait. So where's your go-to restaurant for amazing food?
What are you asking me, my favorite restaurant?
Yeah, your go-to restaurant for your favorite food. Yeah.
All right.
I'm really pumped up for this.
Yeah, I don't know why you were so excited about this question. I mean, I appreciate you trying to get away from sport.
Because he loves to eat.
All right.
I do.
Yeah.
So my favorite restaurant is a place called Sophia's Italian Steakhouse. It's right on the Dedham-West Roxbury line. Right on the VFW Parkway Route 1 junction there. Amazing bread. Amazing main course. And I always get the creme brulee for dessert. Across the board, good. It's a good meal.
Fantastic.
So that's my go-to.
I prefer the Foxborough Subway. That's usually my go-to. Yeah. Everyone loves sandwiches.
Yeah, that's true.
Everyone loves sandwiches. I don't have like one. Yeah, I always like Davio's. I like going to Davio's.
Davio's is good.
Been there, eaten there a billion times.
You know what?
I love the food. I was there one time.
You know what was going on when I was there? Gary Tangway was alone at the bar.
Oh, I thought you were saying Gary Tangway was holding court.
No.
Is this the one up at Patriot Place?
Yeah, I saw him there.
Not surprised. I like Davio's. Davio's is really good. I don't go out to eat a ton, but. They've got those steak and cheese spring rolls. Fire.
Okay.
Absolute fire.
There's a place on Federal Hill, and I can't even think of the name right now. It's escaping me, and I haven't been there in a while, but I go there. I get pasta, unbelievable pasta. I can look up the name at some point.
I really like this Taco Bell Long John Silver's combo up near me at work.
Do you really?
It's a go-to. No. No.
Okay.
That's instant diarrhea.
Yeah.
Have you guys been to Buffalo Wild Wings before?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that place.
Okay. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Used to like Hooters. For the wings.
Sure, for the wings.
No, I liked it for the big boob waitresses. That's why I liked it.
Yeah.
Are you looking up another
place? I'm just trying to find that place on Federal Hill. I can't find it.
So you like some place in Federal Hill?
Yeah, it's a good place. It's a good place.
It's an easy answer. Food. Easy answer in Providence. Just go to Federal Hill.
Yeah.
See what's open. It's all good.
You know, other than that, I don't really have a go. I mean, there's this place in the town I live called Basil's. They have this ravioli sampler. I mean, my mouth waters thinking about that. It's excellent. Lobster ravioli, spinach ravioli, and something else. Butternut squash. So I love a good dish of ravioli. But I like, I'll tell you, let me just say this. Okay, this is the last point I'll make on this. You want to take me to a restaurant?
No.
I don't want some crap. Don't take me to a place that has one menu, okay, one page with like six options.
Oh, I hate that.
Don't want that. That's the worst. Don't want that. I want big menus. I want pages.
You basically want a Cheesecake Factory menu. That's what you're looking for. I don't love the Cheesecake Factory. I
love that place.
But yes.
I don't love that place either, but they've got a million things on the menu.
I want seafood. I want steaks. I want Italian. I want desserts. I want a million different options.
It should be a hard decision, not a I'm settling for this decision. Right. When you're going out to dinner at a place like that.
I get these menus and there's like six little options and then the little price on the side and one of them, you know, I don't want that because then it's weird and they're too uppity for me.
Yeah, we had a reservation at this restaurant, and then we were looking a couple of hours before we were going to go. We actually was like, hey, you want to just look at the menu, see what it's about? We looked at the menu. It was one page, and there was literally only like eight things on it, including your appetizers or whatever. We're like, do you want to go someplace else? This sucks.
Exactly.
I don't know if I want any of this stuff.
Don't bring me to a restaurant where there are – don't take me to a place with a one-page menu. Don't take me to a place where the menu is in a different language. Okay, I'm not feeling that. I don't care if you're an Italian restaurant. I don't want that. I want English. Okay, and I want a menu where I can flip through the pages. I want multiple options. Desserts, pizzas, Italian, steaks, seafood. I want all of it available to me. It's as simple as that. I'm a simpleton, and I want a nice array of options there.
Did the texter get it for you? The Italian restaurant on Federal Hill. I think it's like the fourth one down.
Venda Ravioli. That's it. Texter. Thank you. That's the winner. That's the one.
Outstanding. Your winner, ravioli dinner.
That's actually where we went when we were conceiving the show. That's where we went. Matt Morrell.
Oh,
yeah. You weren't there yet.
No.
We went there.
You were taking something else.
No, we went there. We talked about the show.
Before we conceived our oldest.
No.
That was the pregame meal.
All right, so here's the best thing. Next week,
what?
More games to talk about, baby. Hopefully baseball, hopefully. But the in training camp, we'll sort of get underway a little bit more, but we'll have Celtics games, the playoffs, Bruins games. Can't wait. Games. All right. Coming up next, Andy Hart. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEI.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.